Hello, everybody. Welcome to Road to War. My name is Nick. I play Signar and Scorn.
My name is Michael, and I play Crix and Signar.
My name is Will, and I play Circle and everything else.
Welcome to our first episode. We're going to start out talking about some of our experiences at TempleCon.
Yay, it was super sweet.
Yay.
Better than last year. So TempleCon this year, this was our second year to go, for the three of us. Last year was kind of a last-minute thing where we hadn't really planned it out. So there were some issues with our gameplay and our travel plans, mainly...
Five dudes in a room is awesome.
No, it was...
Whoa.
It was not good.
I was not in that room.
Hey, you were.
I know, but yeah, that was terrible.
I got to sleep on the floor, and there was the horrible moldy pile of towels, because we never let the room service in, because one of us was already sleeping in it.
It's because those Midnight Madness tournaments,
yeah, it was awful. But anyways, it was still fun last year, but this year, I think we can all agree, it was way better.
Yeah, I was much happier with my play this year, as I'm sure both of you were as well.
No, I did terrible. I didn't make it into Masters this year.
You didn't make it into Masters? Mike made it into Masters.
I tricked people into letting me get into Masters again. It was awesome. And I'm playing Cheaty Crix now, so.
I got second place in Masters, and that was awesome. Very happy with that.
But, anyway, so I guess we want to just run through some of the highlights of TempleCon.
Yeah, why don't we start it off with the team tournament? You guys were on a team, and I was on a different team, so this is a little awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's because Nick and I aren't cool and or good enough to be with Will.
We were the Texas Renegades B team.
Or the Renegades from Texas, because I don't remember.
Hacksaw's weird?
No, because Hacksaw's a cool guy, but he was like, it's too similar. Ah! And I was like, okay.
So we went from Texas Renegades to the Renegades from Texas.
Yeah. So, team tournament, it was me, Nick, and Manny. And so just some of the highlights of our games. Nick, why don't you start?
I'm going to go first and talk about my round one game against a Legion of Everblight player. So the matchup that we ended up playing was my Makeda 1 list against his Thagrosh 1 list on Incursion, which is the scenario with three flags, where one goes away at the end of the first round. The reason I picked my Makeda list over my Epic Hexorus list is because I feel like she does a good job of extending threat ranges, which is something that Legion of Everblight a lot of time tries to do. And I feel like the Prime Makeda list does it better. So his list ended up having two Thrones of Everblight in it, which are really hard to deal with Thagrosh's -2 Strength Aura and Spiny Growth. So the way the game kind of played out is we set up our minis, and he jams me with his Thrones of Everblight, and I counter-jam him with my Annihilators. Eventually, I'm able to chew through the two Thrones of Everblight with Moloch Karn and a Bronzeback, which did a pretty good job of getting rid of them, but because of Spiny Growth, by the end of that, both of my beasts were half dead already. As the game continues on, we're fighting the attrition battle back and forth. We're starting to get a little low on death clock, and I see an opportunity for me to go for the assassination, because he's lined up his Seraph in a nice straight line with Prime Thagrosh, so I'm able to slam it with my Gladiator, get it to go right over Thagrosh, and then follow up into him.
The good old Gladiator slam trick.
Oh, man.
So once I do that, my dice kind of go a little cold, and the Gladiator is unable to finish the job on Thagrosh. Comes up a couple boxes short.
Happens a lot to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Every time.
I finish my game, and I come up, and I'm watching this. I'm like, oh, my God, Nick's didn't get it. And I proceed to watch the elephant on Thagrosh with, like, no fury, proceed to not kill him. And I'm like, holy crap. I was like, oh no, because Nick's army is completely out of place at this point, and it would just look really bad. That stupid elephant.
Actually, Thagrosh had four fury on him, so I had a lot of Tranthras to chew through, but I also had a couple of Annihilators that were getting charges on there. Moloch Karn actually walked up once, whacked him, and then died to Spiny Growth.
That was the best part. And the worst part is, I watch you do this, and it's like, because I watch you do it, and I'm like, alright, Nick's going to probably just heal Moloch Karn a couple so he doesn't just auto-die to have Spiny Growth on Thagrosh. And then Moloch Karn just walks up there, hits the Thagrosh, and then falls over dead. It was like the worst thing ever.
So I did heal Moloch Karn both with Makeda and with Paingivers before I did that.
Okay. Oh, that's my bad. It was still awesome. It was still terrible and hilarious at the same time.
But anyway, so I end up coming up a couple boxes short of killing Thagrosh. The next turn, since his death clock is getting really low, he decides to go for an assassination on Makeda, which he comes up a few points short for a variety of reasons, one of which is I had used the Agonizer's -2 Threshold Aura and filled up all of his beasts with my Pain Givers.
That was pretty sweet.
So several of his beasts frenzied, so he didn't have a lot to work with to kill Makeda. He went for a last-ditch effort to Mutagenesis, I think it was Marketh, that was kind of close to Makeda, but ended up being too far away to place in melee with Makeda. So then the next turn, Makeda just walked up and finished him off.
Which is an interesting segue into the game that I wanted to talk about, which ended with a Shifting Stone getting mutagen assist and my caster dying to beat that Grosh.
Mutagen assist isn't living?
No.
Oh, that's terrible.
it's enemy model.
Okay.
We played another really good attrition game, like Nick's game here went. I was playing P-Balder versus P-Thag against, I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, but the team taller than you. And those guys were awesome, if you ever get a chance to meet them. They were really cool guys. But that game went ridiculous and ended with a mutagen assist assassination on me. And that's the first time that has ever happened to me. So...
I will say, in your defense, like, that's the most P-Thag I think any of us have ever seen.
Yeah.
Anywhere. Yeah. He was just all over the place at TempCon.
Anyway, I was not prepared for that. Yeah. Not at all.
Thrones of Everblight with Spiny Growth and Thagrosh's Aura are really hard to deal with.
It's solid.
Seems like the bad times for infantry, or anything with not powerful weapons.
Well, I mean, their armor is so high that you can't kill them with infantry, and if you kill them with a beast, then the beast is half dead when it gets done.
Well, it's things like Bane Thralls and Knights Exemplar and that kind of stuff will be able to kill them, but I think they're trying to take that list in an attempt to combat the Beast Heavy Hordes meta that's going on in the country right now.
All right. Anyways, there were two games in particular for me in the team tournament that stood out. One of them was second round against Jeremy Constance. It was against one of the Team Spite teams from Syracuse, and I'm about dead even in my win-loss record against Team Spite. They're all really cool guys. Whenever I've played them, they've been really good games. This was my second time to play Jeremy. He was playing Circle this time, and I had recently just switched to Krix. So I can't remember what this scenario was, but he puts down... I see he has Epic Kruger, and I know right away that he's going to probably drop him because it's a winnable scenario. So I put down P-Scar, who's kind of my fail-safe safety caster, and pretty much she has... a million infantry models in the list, and she's just trying to jam you. So pretty much we attrition out, he feats, pushes me out of the zone, and it pretty much comes down to, I can probably kill Kruger, because he goes for a risky move, Kruger's up there with not a lot of fury, and I'm thinking, okay, well, the Helldivers are going to jump out and do what they do with Scar's feet, Dark Guidance.
Can we talk about Helldivers for a second?
Yeah, they're, okay.
Those guys are out of control with P-Scar.
They're the greatest thing ever.
They're insane. What are they? They're base mat 6, POW 13.
Yep.
Speed 6?
5.
Speed 5.
That's the drawback.
Ever.
There's no way to damage them at all, whatsoever.
They burn every single turn.
Well, if you can kill them first turn, no, you can't do that.
Well,
They're really good, and they also have the second or third best grid in the game behind only the Behemoth, who is the Behemoth, so he has 36 boxes, and the Cankerworm, which is a big Helldiver. But anyways, so the Helldivers are doing what they do. I get super excited, like a fat kid in a candy store, and I see this caster. I load up my Helldivers, and then pop my feet, and don't cast Dark Guidance. So I'm like, I'm gonna kill him now! And it's like, I need 9s to hit, sweet, here comes the Dark Guidance. And Jeremy just kind of looks at me, and he's like, you didn't cast Dark Guidance. And I looked down at my caster, and Scar definitely has 4 focus still on her. It's like, this is... okay, it's okay. They're still POW 18. I could probably kill him. I proceed to miss...
Did you have 2 of them on him?
Oh, yeah. I had 2 of them on him.
God.
I proceed to miss all but 1 attack and deal pitiful damage to her. So I'm like, oh, that's really bad.
That is the Mike Winner's punt number 1 of the weekend.
Yeah, so... Oh, well, it was almost bad, but... So anyways, then I'm like, I have to do damage control. I run a bunch of Blood Gorgers and other things on my list in front of Scar to try and protect her. It's kind of a futile effort at this point because he's got a whole bunch of beasts. And he has telekinesis, so I think it's bad for me. And sure enough, next turn, he's like, he sets up and it's gonna be an assassination. But, the same way I try punting my game through bad plays, Jeremy tries to punt games to me with horrible dice. He has to telekinesis a Blood Gorger out of the way, which he needs 5s, and proceeds to roll a 2. So then he has to spend his focus, or his fury, I'm sorry, again to try and telekinesis it again, so he doesn't have the fury to then boost an attack that he was gonna hit Scar with. And then, like, his Warp Wolf comes up, because he can only fit 1 in there now, because he only was able to TK 1 model out of the way, and starts wailing on Scar, and he proceeds to dice himself. And ironically, that 4 focus that I didn't cast Dark Guidance with saved my life by 4 health points. Wow. So Scar's sitting there, like, with a Warp Wolf on her, and I'm just looking at it, and then I try to punt the game again. I get Blood Quarters on Kruger with no Fury, and I forgot to cast Dark Guidance again, and I'm like, oh, this I did it again, awesome. So I pretty much stare at the board for 10 minutes, just thinking of how retarded I am, and I just let my clock run. I'm like, and I'm finally like, I gotta do something. Scar's gonna run away. Take your free strike. She has 4 boxes and like 2 focus. And he swings, knees an 8, and he rolls a 6. So Scar runs away. I almost run out of the kill box again, which I luckily didn't.
So what you're telling me is you're just the luckiest player.
Jeremy definitely had me on that game, and right. His dice would have none of it. But anyways, I run away, and I eventually regroup, and with the help of Mechanithralls being like blatantly unfair with Dark Guidance, which I, from then on, like, I'll forget something twice, probably not 3 times. So then after that, the Mechanthrals just swarm back, and I eventually get out my caster kill, and I almost death clock myself. But that game was really sweet.
Nice. But sounds like a squeaker.
No, it was awesome.
You wanted to give it to him, but he his dice were like, no, you can't really have this one.
Yeah, maybe his dice wanted time. To give it to me even more. It
maybe was, next time.
But no, yeah, next time, Jeremy. All my games I've had against the Syracuse guys, him and, let's see, John Adams and Zach Glick, they've all been really cool. But that game was really well played. Definitely on his part. And slightly on my part.
So I just want to mention something real quick that I thought of. So I think Hacksaw posted on the forums a couple days ago that there were only a handful of games actually won by Death Clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to ask you guys if you've had this experience too. I had several games where nobody actually Death Clocked themselves, but the game was still very much decided by the existence of the Death Clock. Because they were running out of time, and they had to do something dumb to try to win the game before they ran out of time. And yes. Then you're able to kill them as a result.
Yes, that happened to me several times that weekend.
Okay. Yeah, and I think we can just go ahead and take an aside and say, Death Clock is really awesome compared to just the round timers. Yeah. It lets you play the actual game more rather than the attrition, okay, Dice Downer is coming, and I'm going to just run some stuff in at the end. But yeah, you did see people... that at the very end, if they saw their time getting short, they would just start running, forgetting activations, messing up their order of activation. So it does, it's really, really awesome, but if you ever run out of time, it can force you to make some bad mistakes.
I like it because it adds in another aspect of skill to the game, which is time management. And it doesn't hurt my opponent if I have to think about things for 7 minutes on my turn when I have 3 models left. It also kind of, to me, gives you a little flashback to the original hardcore. When your time is running out, like the adrenaline starts pumping, you get really excited about stuff. I really like it. I think it's really, really good for the game, and I think it's going to do great in the tournament season this year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. Hopefully, we'll see a lot of the other conventions switching to that. But before we leave the team tournament, I just want to do one more. I'm sure Nick will probably join in with me. The most fun teams we played against was Team Use on Minis, who are just really awesome guys. Yeah, I know. Well, you love them too. But anyways, so we go up there and we're playing them. I am the biggest fanboy ever when it comes to like nerd famous people. So when I see them deep down on the inside, I'm like, oh my god, it's these guys. And I'm partially super excited and partially terrified because I know they're all good players. So I look at my opponent, and it's going to be Keith Christensen, who's a really solid Krix player, and I'm like, I've been playing Krix for 3 months. I'm sure this will end badly for me.
Mike was scared to death of Keith. He begged me to pop the team feed so that we could switch me and Mike so that he wouldn't have to play Keith.
That probably happened. But anyways, because I see it, I'm like, I'm not ready for the Scar-on-Scar matchup. Certainly not against a guy who I know is better player, and also definitely better at Krix than me. So I'm like, put me onto that, and put me onto the, Chad, who I'm also terrified of, but I have the inherent advantage of he's playing Hordes, and I have Terminus in my list, who I'm sure we'll cover later, is ridiculous against Hordes. So, against Chad, so we switch our feet. Luckily, they decide not to mess with us, so they didn't team feed either, so it's me against Chad, and Nick is playing against, Keith. So I'm looking at Chad's list. He has, I believe, Madrak 1 and Madrak 2. Madrak 2 is your standard, like, lots of infantry, so I'm pretty sure he's not going to take that, because he probably knows I'm dropping Terminus. So sure enough, he drops his Madrak 1 list, which is a lot of beasts. It's supply and demand, which is a really, awkward. I'm going to say, yeah, let's go with awkward, scenario. And he quite clearly read the scenario backwards. And I'm looking at it because pretty much what you have to do is you have to control your zone, the objective on your zone, and contest their zone. So pretty much when it comes down to it, it's like, you just sit guys around your objective and run one guy at a time into theirs. And he's read it the other way, so he just turtles up around his. So I just start running one Mechanithral into his zone every other turn. So with that, I'm like, I'm up 2 points. So you think that'd be an easy win for me, but I,
Mike is the master of punting.
Well, yes, and
so how do we do it this time?
I'm a fatty ding dong, and I super wanted that caster kill pie. I see Madrak out there, and I'm like, I think I can kill him. I didn't get the Corbeau move out. I moved Terminus up, and I could probably hit him with a spray and a spell, which, because that's clearly what Terminus is designed to do. No, he's not. But anyway, so I do that, do some damage, and I'm like, alright, now I'm gonna curse him and send Bane Thralls at him. That should kill him, right? Well, I forgot he had Surefoot, so he was defense 16, which was unfortunate for me. And he also has that obnoxious scroll that says no damage. So anyways, after I, pretty much flail around on him, he just walks up and Madrak kills Terminus, and I was super sad.
So what did we learn here, Mike?
Yeah, don't win more. If you're winning, don't try and win more.
Just win the game.
Yeah, just, if your options are win the game or anything else, you're probably safer with winning the game.
Yep. Yeah.
So
that's usually the better call.
Yeah.
I agree. I definitely agree.
So next we're going to talk about the Flanks for the Memories. That's the Midnight Tournament that they ran. I don't think we're going to go too in-depth on our games in it, but we wanted to mention it and talk a little bit about the format.
Because we all did pretty badly.
We did do pretty bad.
I did all right.
So it was a 35-point tournament with all flank scenarios, which really just means it's a 42-point tournament with 7 points coming in on the side.
So. Which was weird because they didn't increase the death clock timers, mm-hmm. So it's like you're playing a 35-point time limit with a 42-point army. Which was awesome.
It was interesting, especially when someone pointed out, like, instead of just building a 35-point list and then bringing up this 42, the way you could approach it is you take your 50-point list and just pare it down by 8 points, which I think is a lot easier than, like, building it up the other way.
It is much easier. Yeah.
As far as the Midnight Terminants go, I'll say that if you did not take Pro Tip number 1 and qualify in the first one, and you have to play in a Midnight Tournament, then pro tip number 2 is, if you're not going to qualify, lose round 1.
Yep. Yeah. If you're going to lose a game, have it be the first one, not the last
and
one.
And then you can go be sad and go to sleep.
That's what I did.
even at, like, round 2, where I just pretty much just decided to let Jamie walk all over me, at least it was second game, I could go to bed. However, our buddy Will here decided to...
I lost a round 3 to Team Gator Dunn. And I ended up staying for the fourth round, ended up playing Jamie.
Yes.
It was a learning experience for me, actually. He pulled some shenanigans with his first turn Shifting Stone placement, which I will probably steal from him, where he essentially primaled and double-placed a Warpwolf Stalker from deployment. So he went second and just double-placed it immediately and started wailing on one of my Warpwolf Ferals. And that was really interesting. I'd not even... really considered that as an option before. So Jamie taught me something there.
How far up was your Warpwolf that he got?
Oh, I had run into a unit of Shifting Stones and then got placed on turn 1.
Oh, okay.
So it was past halfway mark on the field. But I decided to stay for round 4 because maybe I could squeak in on tiebreakers.
Yep.
After round 4 ended, I actually left the con hall to go to sleep. I was feeling so bad. Before Hacksaw even announced, so I didn't even know the next morning when I woke up if I had qualified or not. I had not. Billy, one of the other guys from the Texas Renegades, actually snuck in on the 3-1 spot in that tournament, so congratulations to him.
And Eric Nelson, another guy from Texas.
Yeah, he went undefeated in that tournament.
Yep, so...
He did his justice, baby.
Yep.
He did his justice. So the next day, we all woke up at 11 after trundling through the Midnight Madness and failing.
Yeah, it was sad times.
11?
Noon? No, 11 was hardcore.
I was 1.
Well, I think we woke up at noon.
Okay, yeah. We woke up at noon.
So we're about 3.5 hours of sleep here. We all show up to standard issue.
Not me. I lost in round 1 and got a full night's sleep.
Yeah, all right, 3.5 hours congrats. For me. Wake up and dirtle on into standard issue there.
Which is the last chance that... All right, so pretty much there were 2 guys from Texas that had qualified for Masters, and before we had went, we had decided, like, we're like, well, what do you think the over-under is for us getting in? It's 3.5, so some, like, I think I said we would we all wanted to be over that number, but I think I thought we were just going to be under three because it's like, well, I'm pretty sure Billy, Will, and Eric will get in. Me and Nick are kind of the toss-ups. Nick can probably get in. I'm not going to hold my breath on myself. But anyway, so it's the three of us that still are trying to qualify, and it's our last chance. So the pressure's on.
It's on big time. And I'm coming down with something at this point. I'm aware that I am sick. I'm actually still currently sick 2 weeks later. And this is awful, by the way. But so that tournament was go time. It was game faces. And I remember sitting down with Mike before the tournament. I was like, all right, Mike, Nick, let's do this. We got to get at least two more people in this tournament.
Yep.
So I end up going undefeated and making it in.
Yep.
As does Mike.
I did two. I lucked out, had some close games. Nick, how'd you do in that one?
I lost round one because Epic Hexorus apparently needs 12 Fury to kill a half-dead Stormclad.
Nick is following pro tip number two, which is if you're going to lose, do it in round one. Yeah.
But I decided to go ahead and stick it out, and maybe I'll go 3-1 and all my opponents will win out and I'll get to squeak in on tiebreakers. I ended up going 3-1 on the day, and getting the fourth alternate spot. So if everybody who qualified in the tournament doesn't show up, I get to play in Masters, which obviously didn't happen.
Yeah.
That is true.
But yeah, that tournament, was awesome, partly because we all got in Masters. I got some really solid games in there. I'd say the best part though is how in the final round, I managed to dodge all the people I wanted to dodge. I don't want to play Will, because I can't beat him. And I play against him regularly at the shops like, oh, cool, I flew in a plane to come lose to Will. That was exactly what I wanted to do. Thanks, TempleCon. So I avoided him. I also avoided Keith Christensen, who's I'm also terrified of, but he's a really cool guy. I don't mind losing to either Will or Keith, but I clearly want to get into Masters. But in the final round, it was me, Will, Keith being undefeated with three others. And we're just like, oh, God, I hope I don't have to play any of these people I know. But, like, all of us again.
We all dodged everyone that we knew.
And then we did. It was the greatest thing ever.
Awesome.
We all got the happy dance. And we all made it into Masters. And and the surprise fourth player, who, spoiler alert, would go on to beat Will in the finals in Masters, was Jamie P.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that's all you can say about that. Alright. But anyways, do we want to just roll into Masters? Because you're going to be doing the most talking in Masters, since you...
Well, let's actually talk about other stuff. But we're going to talk about some other stuff real quick, and then we'll go over the Masters at the end of the show.
Sweet.
Kind of give us some hoop-da-ha. Some hoop-da-ha. So before we go into the Masters event, I wanted to talk about some other stuff that went on there to kind of build some suspense here. You know, everybody knows how this ended.
Yeah.
Will lost.
And it did happen.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about Colossals. Or specifically the Colossals, not the book.
Yay, Colossals.
I think they are going to be interesting.
Holy shit, Will, are you serious?
Yeah.
Alright,
We've got really two options on these guys. I think they're either going to be not very good, as in probably Nazi tournament play like most of the battle engines.
Except for that stupid Minoth one.
Except for the Minoth one that is extremely good.
Yeah.
Or they're going to go the other direction. They're going to be really, really, really good, and we're going to see them a whole lot in tournaments.
Yeah.
And I think that mostly comes into play because balancing 20-point models is extremely difficult.
Yeah.
Because no matter what you are, Bane Thralls will still kill the crap out of you.
Oh, I'm so happy that I'm playing Krix now. It's the greatest thing ever.
Like, if they're not armor 24+, or have some rule that reduces infantry damage.
I have killed a Spriggan on Harkovich's feat turn with Bane Thralls.
Sure.
Yeah, so I'm not
sure.
I guess maybe if it was armor 28, I'd be more scared.
I don't see them being armor 24+, just because at that point they're absurdly hard to kill.
But they're also 20 points. They're 2/5 of your army.
Yeah.
At 50 points. And God forbid to 35 to take
one. Yeah. Alright, I'm gonna...
That's a terrible idea.
I have faith that Privateer Press is... Like, all their stuff has been pretty really balanced, in terms of, like, the new stuff, like the battle engines. So I'm not too worried about the... he doesn't count. We'll get to him later. But in terms of, like, the new types of models, like huge bases. When they first were spoiled, everyone was freaking out, thinking, oh my god, this is going to be the most terrifying thing ever. You're going to have to play these to be competitive. Well, turns out...
It did not happen.
You don't really need to.
Minoth.
I don't think so you have to with Minoth. The thing is, The Vessel of Judgment is, like, really bonkers good, but you don't have to play it, which is awesome.
Sure.
Part of the fear would also be, like, that, you know, this could turn into, like, the Cold War game, like, a lot of people compare it to Magic, where you have to, oh, you want to be competitive, buy this model. Well, that's one of my greatest fears, but I'm pretty sure we're not going to have to deal with that. My issue with them is I'm going to fall on the side that I think they're not going to be that good. Because as we just mentioned, Bane Thralls generally still don't care about how much armor you have. And the same problem that a lot of people complain about Warjacks having, which is it's a focus-hungry model, there's only one of it, it's a lot of points. Well, guess what? Here's one that's twice as expensive in terms of points, and probably also in dollars. So if you want to field
and
those...
And focus.
Yeah, and focus. So as someone who can field Bane Thralls, that's... I am okay with you doing this.
From the critic's perspective, Colossals are awesome.
Yes, you should take as many of those as you can. But
good to know. I'm interested to see what the superstructure rule ends up doing. I'm pretty sure it's going to have something to do with the guns, which is a Nick theory.
Yeah. No, I mean, I asked some of the PP guys if the superstructure governed the gun system, and I believe their answer was that might be a good guess. No, they didn't actually confirm anything.
Privateer doesn't confirm anything ever.
They're awesome about that. They're super tight.
You want to know what I'm super excited about the Colossuses?
Huh.
In the video they showed, one of the parts with Stormwall on it, they're like panning over to the right, and there's this little like thing on the ground, this little pod that popped open and has a Stormsmith staff in there.
Oh god, here he goes.
But we don't play Signar anymore, Nick. We got off that train.
That is true. That doesn't mean we still can't like Signar.
I do love Signar, but
I'm gonna give him a shot when Minutemen come out. Those things are awesome.
Yes.
Minutemen are anyway, excellent.
Still on Battle Engines. Something that Will told me earlier when we were discussing it. Something that might save them from the aforementioned Bane Thrall spam. Just totally just wanking on them. Pretty much. Well, that does seem kind of imbalanced. If you can take like really cheap infantry unit and kill a 20-point model, right? So how would you get around that? And he suggested something similar to the structure rules. Structure, like, you know, like Pillars of Salt, where you have to have a base power of a weapon of 14 actually damage it. Something that would help, like, it would say something like, if the superstructure is intact, you have to have a base power of this weapon before you can actually hurt it. So things like Bane Thralls don't just pile on and just beat it to death.
Sure, but I feel like a hard cap like that is not really the answer Privateer would apply here.
Yeah, I'm not saying
I think it would be more of a soft cap, like maybe infantry roll one less damage dice against them. Or maybe infantry that charge them do not get the extra damage dice.
Well, but so then if they're going to be armored 24 like you think, and they have that
I think it's going to be one or the other.
Okay, because I was going to say, then infantry just like can't hurt them at all ever.
Which also seems fluff-wise reasonable.
Yeah. But
I mean, you're
rules do not equal Python fluff. Rules don't equal fluff. Sure. Let's just put that on here right now. Yes.
But if you're an Iron Fang pikeman with a spear and you're like stabbing this thing in the shin, like what do you really hope to achieve here?
Yeah, but the Iron Fang pikeman lances blow up when they stab stuff with them.
Yeah. Okay.
Bad example. Sorry.
Yes. Infantry should. Yes. Fluff
wise. If you're a Tharn wolf rider throwing javelins at this thing, what do you hope to achieve here?
Yeah. Yes. Fluff wise, yes. The giant robot monster should probably not be hurt by the infantryman who's poking him with a stick.
Maybe the Tharn wolf rider will throw the javelin in its eye.
I don't think they have eyes. But yeah, Colossals, super exciting. Apparently they're going to have, I guess, all of them? Did they say all of them available?
They didn't say all of them, they said some of them.
I think it was Signar and Cador are going to be in Lockdown.
They didn't specify exactly what they're going to have. I think it's a pretty safe bet that the Signar and the Cador ones will both be there since they already both seem to be finished.
Yeah.
Sure.
They have them painted and in the video.
Yes.
Can we talk about the Merc one? It's got a freaking trident.
It does have a trident.
That is awesome. That's all we really need to talk about it.
Yeah. Also, it's a pirate thing.
Yep. Pirates are awesome.
I thought it was going to be a steelhead thing. Okay, first of all, I didn't think Mercs were going to get one, mainly because their thing is they are the ragtag bunch, blah, 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 blah. It kind of makes sense that the pirates have it because Shay is apparently richer than everyone. I don't know how you fit that on a boat. I don't know what boat is carrying that thing.
I haven't actually thought about that. It's going to be amphibious, too.
I will say, I'm just glad that Mercs are getting one, just so we don't have to listen to them complain about how they don't get one this time.
That's true.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's all yes.
Because we all know, Mercs aren't a real faction.
Yeah, Mercs aren't a real faction.
You can actually quote Matt Wilson with that one.
Yeah, exactly.
He said that. That may have been 5 or 6 years ago, but he said that.
Things might have changed between now and then. I think Devil Squid would probably not agree with
that. It's all about context.
Yes, that is true.
It's all about context.
But let's see what the other ones.
The Kraken, which is horribly named and is going to annoy everybody.
I swear to God, that thing has a black oil cannon on it, I'm quitting.
I'm going to get... I need to find a model that looks like maybe it could be Zeus, paint it gold, and put it on top of him, and whenever I play it, I'll yell, release the Kraken, and just make everyone groan.
And that's why everybody's going to hate that.
Yeah, well, everyone will hate me, but...
Well, I don't really have
it. Except for that age, that guy loves you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it was the Kraken, the art looks extremely questionable.
Yep.
It's a giant, it looks like the head of a leviathan, but without the body, and it has...
Well, it's got little spider legs.
Yeah, exactly.
Where do you know that?
Yeah, it's like...
I mean, the thing's going to be like a 3-pound model on a tack.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the Wraith engine.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
But, so...
Because of his derpy arms, hopefully.
Yeah. But as a Crix, as someone who's playing Crix now, I'm excited about battle engines, not necessarily mine.
Keep calling Colossals battle engines.
That's what you know what I mean. Also, well, that applies also to battle engines. But anyways, Colossals. Yes, I'm excited about the idea behind Colossals, because I think they're super sweet. I don't know if I will field one.
I'm gonna buy all of them just to paint them.
Yeah,
maybe not the Crix one. We gotta see the model for the Crix one, but the rest of them are gonna look awesome. So maybe the Rhett one.
The Rhett one is a giant Rhett thing.
It's just gonna be like a CD that's just like super flat. That's gonna have two little feet at the bottom, and that's gonna be maybe some shoulder pads.
Yeah.
I think the Minoth one looks sweet with like the rockets and the flamethrower nipples.
I think that thing looks terrifying because
I feel like it's what the Avatar should have been.
Yeah. I just am gonna throw out there like Minoth Jacks are already pretty scary. They're the War Machine faction that can field a lot of terrifying Jacks. So the idea of one that's even bigger and scarier and more angry with more guns is not really doing
much for
me.
It's still buffed by choir.
Yeah, I was saying, I'm kind of hoping that the Minoth one has a rule that says it can't be buffed by choir.
Yeah, that...
God. Or it's Mat 5. I'll take that.
No, Mat 7 is still really good. Like
Mat 4?
That's acceptable.
Okay.
All right,
we're going to start it right here, right now. We're going to start a petition to get the Minoth Colossal to be nerfed to Mat 4. Before we even see the rules for anything.
Yeah, that...
I'm starting it.
Either that or not affected by choir.
Well, so
either one. I'll take it.
If it's Mat 4, that means it should probably be Rat 3, because that just makes
and
sense.
And inaccurate.
That's
fine. Yes. We'll just tack it all on there.
That's fine. I mean, how many times do you really want Redeemer Rockets to actually hit something? You're just firing them blindly.
But what about the flamethrower nipples?
I don't know what's happening. That thing is.
Maybe you could aim and get choir, and at Rat 3, it'll still be Rat 7. I'm scratching my head right now. You can't see that because it's a microphone. But I'm doing it.
Yes,
he is. That's some good radio, Will.
Yep.
But anyways, is that all the battle engines?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know if we've really talked about them all. We should talk about the Signar one more.
No.
Looks like you took two Defenders and two Cyclones and jammed them all together with the Thunderhead. It's going to be sweet. I hope it has the Pulse.
It's not going to have the Pulse. But if it has the Pulse, you're just going to kill your entire own army with it.
No, hey.
All right, so it's got some sort of electrical attack, because it has the boiler, so the...
That doesn't mean anything.
The coils aren't powering
the Jack. Striker has the boiler.
Yeah, but he doesn't have coils, too.
Guess he only has coils.
Yeah.
Right, he has a boiler?
I'd like to point this out, though.
I don't know.
Wait, no. Striker doesn't have a boiler.
I'm just saying that all the Jacks out there that have only coils... I don't know.
There's whatever. One. Yeah, there's
the Thunderhead
one.
Doesn't have a boiler either.
No, I'm saying that the Stormwall does have a boiler.
Yeah.
So that means that the coils on it are not there to power it.
It's there for a weapon.
What if Nemo just decided to put them on there because they look cool?
Nemo does like putting coils on things.
He is probably a senile
or like
man.
27 on the Thunderhead or something.
But anyways, I would like to address what you just said about hoping it has the Pulse. One of the rules that all of these new Colossals are going to have is Reach. And as a topic that's been addressed on the Signar forum, where people have asked, what would you want the Thunderhead to have to be better? It's like, someone said Reach, it's like, cool, so you're definitely not getting that Pulse off, because you walk yourself into melee and not get that Pulse.
I will say, I feel like we can all be pretty confident that the Colossi are going to have the weapons platform rule, or some form of that, so I'm cool with that.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. I don't know, I want to see what they do really, really badly. Hopefully the next Noquarter will show us. Probably not, but...
Don't get your hopes up.
No, I won't. But anyways, so that's Colossals. And
does anybody want to talk about Heap?
Heap? I wasn't even awake for Heap. I barely got down there.
They announced Heap?
Yeah, they announced Heap.
I barely got down there for it.
Yeah, you guys didn't actually come to the presentation.
No.
The Q&A was sweet. They announced Krios on a horse.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Nobody cares.
Krios, yeah. Well, no. So a lot of people care.
Nope.
You know, I will say I'm a little disappointed that... they made a big deal in the last note quarter about how they're going to, like, increase the battlefield presence of all the level 3 casters. And, you know, they're going to do all these cool new things. And then, like, the cool new things they do is just put everybody on a horse and give Nemo a girl.
Hey, man. Girls are awesome.
Yeah, okay. We can all agree to that. But I feel your pain, Nick.
All right, well, now that that's out of the way, let's start talking about Masters. Mike, would you like to go first?
Okay, well, pretty much, I lucked my way into Masters again, which is the only way I get in. First round, I played against J.D. White from Lost Hemisphere. He's from Canada. I think he was the youngest kid in Masters. I think he was only
18.
I thought he was younger than that. But he was 18, so like I'd never seen him at a convention before, so I have no idea what his playstyle is like or what army he likes to bring. He was playing Scorn, which I went in feeling relatively comfortable because I'm against Hordes and I just generally drop Terminus, and that's generally pretty good for me. He ended up dropping
Epic Hexorus, wasn't it?
No, it was. I believe it was. No, it was Prime Hexorus.
Prime.
With the scary feet that really can stop Cricks. But I had practiced that out with Nick a couple times, so I felt that it wasn't a horrible situation for me. The scenario was more or less irrelevant. It was a jam in the middle, probably no one's going to win, cast or kill type thing. So pretty much, our armies do what they're meant to do. His Nihilators run into my Mechanthralls. I tough a fuck a couple times. My Mechanthralls punch some of his Nihilators. They tough, blah, blah, blah. Eventually, he walks in enough of his infantry to where I can get a Biothrall off, and I'm going to feat with Terminus and get a couple souls. Because for Terminus to be invincible, I think he needs around 5 to 7 souls, and he's pretty safe, especially since I have Duraga on the list.
I think 28 armor is what you're looking for.
Yeah.
28, 29.
28, and then with the additional plus 2 from Duraga. Sure. Terminus is pretty happy about that. So I do that, in my list, the Deathjack in that Terminus list is mainly a bait piece. I usually throw him out there to get someone commit their heavy hitters, and then I kill their heavy hitters with Terminus, and then he's even safer, because you don't have a lot left. Well, anyways, Jordan has some really bad dice, some bad dice luck. It took a Gladiator and a Bronzeback to kill the Deathjack. And it took him to that last Fury. So he's kind of overextended himself on one side. His caster is sitting out there, pretty open, and I'm looking at him like, I'm pretty sure Terminus has a kill charge on this. And so, still during... This is... Alright, listen up,
during
guys.
His turn.
This is another thing where Michael's going to tell you what you shouldn't do. So, still during Jordan's turn, I'm like, I'm going to measure my control error, and I measure it, and I'm measuring it straight to his caster from Terminus.
I still can't believe you did
and,
that.
And I'm looking at him like, oh man, he's totally in my head. And, of course, Jordan is a good player, so he's like, measure that for me again. And I'm like, crap.
This is where Mike saw the cupcake.
And I really wanted that caster kill cupcake.
I want it so bad.
So I show him, and he's like, oh. And he just ran the beefy tyrant guy in front of it. It's like, well, I'm incredibly stupid. So I'm like, well, I can't kill his caster's turn, so I'll just go kill those two elephants. And Terminus flies over, acts really scary, kills those two elephants. But I have to spend more fury than I probably should have or needed to, but I needed to kill those elephants. And then I try and block a charge lane from his third Gladiator, with some, like, garbage pieces in the way. Long story short, he clears him out, the Gladiator gets on Terminus and kills me, which I rightfully deserved after showing Jordan what I was going to do. But, no, Jordan was a really solid player, and, that was a good game. I like to think that, I might have gotten him had I not shown him what I was immediately going to do, but, I was pleased with how that game went.
So, just to bring back up pro tip number 2, which is, if you're gonna lose the first round, that does not apply to Masters.
No, certainly not.
That's very true.
Yeah.
But, no, it was a great game. The thing that I, loved about whenever you get into Masters, you're just playing just high-level people, and even if you do lose, it's always a good game. But anyways,
Masters is the best form of competition in War Machine right now.
But anyways, that was my first round. Will, what was yours?
Well, for me, I ended up playing, I do not remember his name, but I'm pretty sure he's Stubbs' son-in-law.
Stubbs is awesome. That is all.
Yep, Stubbs is awesome. And he was also playing Terminus,
yep.
Much like you, because he saw me playing Hordes, he just dropped his Terminus. I played P-Balder, was able to clean up most of his army with Woldstalkers, and, forced him to come into the scenario objective with Terminus and got a caster kill off it.
Yep.
So it, went by the numbers, it was a clean game.
Yeah. As an aside, Kirks was everywhere in this Masters.
Yeah, there were five Kirks players.
Five of them. I think all five of us played Terminus. No, Eric did not play Terminus for sure. Or maybe he did.
I think all five of you guys played Terminus in round one.
Yeah, and all and
three
all,
out of five lost.
No, I think four out of five of us lost. I think Eric's the only Kirks player that
won. No, Eric and Keith won.
Oh, Eric and Keith. Yeah, yeah, sorry.
Will played Keith in round three.
Yeah.
Yep.
But no, that five Kirks players, I think that's the most, that's highest number of a single faction I've ever seen in a Masters tournament.
Though, the Masters was split evenly between War Machine and Hordes.
Perfectly 8-8, that is correct.
I did not notice that. Huh.
Yep, yep. So my round two, I ended up actually going against Eric, one of the other Texas Renegades guys. And he and I, we play all the time, so we kind of knew what list each person was going to take. So he ended up picking Epic Asphyxius. I took Morvana. I knew he had almost, because of character restrictions, he only had one way to get rid of upkeep spells, which was strong with Morvana. He had already used Terminus, so I was pretty certain he wasn't going to play him again and lock himself for the next two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going with Egaspy over P. Denny, because P. Denny's feat doesn't really do anything to Morvana's army. You feat, and they die, and then they come back, and who cares?
Yeah, oh, they're not under the feat anymore.
Yeah, and they're not under the feat anymore when they come back, which is even better. So turned into an attrition game. Morvana's also very good against Egaspy because she really has no heavy targets for him to feed on, except for her. So you got to keep her really far back. Game went attrition-y. Ended up killing most of his army. Blood Tracker's regrowing. Ended up sealing the deal on Gaspy. At about, I think, turn four. With an awesome flanking Feral Geist holding the objective from him the entire time. It was awesome.
Incorporeal flank forces are really sweet.
Yep.
Something to remember, guys.
Super solid. Super duper solid.
So round three.
Mike's round two.
Alright, my round two, I got to play Chad or Gad, one of the Muse guys. Which was super sweet. I got to try and rematch him against the game that I punted to him in a team tournament. But anyways, we were both really relaxed. We were in the loser's bracket, which pretty much at that point means you're just there to have fun, relax, no reason to get uptight about it. Just side note, my side story. I didn't go to TempleCon expecting to get into Masters. I'd been playing Kirk's 3 months, so I didn't bring a third caster. So my Sunday morning consisted of me running around the hotel, trying to find a third caster and trying to make a third list. Which, through talking with people and borrowing models and or cards, was E. Denny, who I've never played before in my life until that game. But since it was a Roy Rask game, I was like, I'll try her out. So I put her down. It's your standard E. Denny list. Lots of Banes. Biles, just lots of infantry, Kirk spam. And he was playing Epic Madrak. So two infantry hordes crashing at each other. Eventually, I got the upper hand because E. Denny is completely ridiculous on control zone feats. I mean, control zone scenarios. I feat, his army stands there.
Get a whole bunch of free kills.
yeah, move in. It was just a really fun game, really relaxed, so eventually I ended up pulling it out, but, it was super fun.
Bile Thralls are also very good at, tilting infantry battles, in Krix's favor.
Yeah. The infantry list with Bile Thralls will always win against the infantry list with no Bile Thralls.
It's true facts. True facts.
Anyways, so third round, go ahead, Will.
Round three, I ended up playing, Keith Christensen playing Epic Denegra. That was a game.
Absolutely.
That was a game. It was a very difficult to win scenario. It was one of the central scenarios. I don't even remember which one. But we both did a really good job of making sure nobody ever scored any control points until I think the last turn of the game, the second last turn of the game. Keith ended up scoring a point. The game ended up going attrition. I played Chromac against E. Denny. Which is a pretty solid matchup for Chromac, because everything has such a super long threat range. You can stay really far back and still threaten a lot of things. So her feat becomes less useful. He also, the only shooting in his list that he had was Nis Hunters, which I'm not particularly scared of with War Beasts at shooting. So the first couple turns of the game, we kind of danced around the objective in the middle. He ended up coming up and feeding, locking all my Warp Wolves in place. I got to place something into a unit of Bane Thralls, place the second Warp Wolf into a unit of Stalker, into the unit of Bane Thralls, killed a whole bunch of them. He ended up totally flubbing his dice rolls. and the Stalker lived with 2 hit points, which ended up winning me the game, actually.
It didn't, like it took an army of Bane Thralls missed.
It took, like, 5 Bane Thralls to the face,
and they
only
all
got hit once,
yeah,
maybe twice.
Probably should have been dead.
And then, yeah. There was a squeaker of a Hellmouth in there that could have killed it, and that couldn't pull it because it was in base with things. It was a close game. Really, really close game. Ended up with, I think, about 3 or 4 Nis Hunters and Denegra and 1 or 2 Blood Witches left versus Cro-Mac, a Gorax, and a unit of Shifting Stones. And then the Gorax killed Denegra.
Because that guy is... Why does he have 4 Fury?
I don't know. I don't know. That guy is out of
control. Sure, why not?
I kill more casters with Goraxes than I think Stalkers.
That's because no one sees the Gorax coming.
Yeah, it's like this little Speed 6 missile of hate.
Yeah, and
it's
and he looks
Mat 8, Pal 14 with its own Animus and Wild Aggression and War. Oh my god, it's out of control.
Yeah. He's 4 points again. Yeah,
yeah, he's also 4 points.
Wow.
I thought it was 5 points.
Nice.
No, that guy's 4. You know what's 5 points, though?
The Argus.
The Argus.
The Winter Argus.
Oh, I'm
Three
sorry.
Argus,
Winter
Argus is only 4.
Oh, well, yeah. Or that... The 2 Fury Stone Man.
Also yeah, the Firefly, yeah. 5 points.
Yeah, God,
man. That guy's solid if I... No,
no
I'm sorry,
not.
I'm lying.
Anyways, my 3rd round, I played against Jason Flanzer, who's another one of those...
J.B. Flans.
For one of those, another one of those super famous War Machine people...
It's the hair.
...that I would fanboy out. Yeah, his hair is...
It's definitely the hair. It's more epic than mine, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But anyways...
up instead of falling out.
Yeah. But anyways, Flanzer's playing this super sweet-looking Kator list... we pretty much sit down and we're like, hey, look, man, we're again in the loser's bracket, so we're both pretty relaxed. I tell him, you know, I'm just gonna drop P-Scar, because I haven't played her yet, and he's like, I'm gonna drop P-Vlad. His P-Vlad list was, really shooty. It was the Party Wagon, or the Battle Engine, the Behemoth. I call it the Party Wagon. It's the Party Wagon. He has the Party Wagon, the Winter Guard Death Star, a Spriggan and Behemoth and the Great Bears, because why not? So anyways, I'm like, oh, well, he has a lot of AoEs, so Texas will probably be able to tie him up.
I mean, that's just, the Great Bears are basically a ranged attack.
They have AoEs.
Yeah.
They have AoE with axes.
Yep.
But anyways, of course, P-Vlad does, or Vlad 1, whatever you want to call him, does what he does best, which is signs importance and you fire up the cannons. And let me tell you, even when the Behemoth tramples forward at you, and he's a whopping rat too, when he gets to throw 4 dice at you and drop the lowest, he's gonna hit a whole lot of stuff. So, pretty much first opportunity, Jason gets, he dumps a bombard on the 6 of C Witch's head, and kills her. Which is really bad for me, cause then, guess what, all those Texas women are just dying to blast damage. And he's just dropping pie plates all over them. So, they're pretty much dead. He also had Ion and Holt in the list, which magical weapons for Death Star just kills Black Bane's Ghost Raiders. So pretty much my army's just running at him. It's like pretty much Revolutionary War style, where I'm just running at him. He's just mowing my guys down.
If you've seen the end of Last Samurai,
oh yeah,
all the samurai charging
it's like
the chain gun.
They're just getting just
yeah,
totally mowed down. And
So who in your army is Tom Cruise then?
I don't know. None of them are crazy enough.
I'm gonna go with Black Bane.
Which one survived?
I got tabled, so none of them. So they all died. But anyways, so eventually, Jason, gives me 1 shot as caster. I get to sack strike something against him, Vlad with no focus, cause he had allocated it out and cast Signs of Importance, and he had forgotten to put him on a hill. Scar goes up, needs to roll 2 9s, on 3 dice, miss the hit, and that's pretty much game. But, super fun game. I did not expect my army to get melted that fast. Normally when I play P-Scar, her army is pretty resilient. It's not resilient, but there's just so many of them, it's really hard to deal with. But, yeah, Jason's list
lots
was...
Lots of little rifles, lots of sprays.
Yeah, and then, and the other list. Yeah, it was just, the volume of shots was just too much for that list to handle, and my army just got melted.
Indeed.
And then after that, I dropped out because Will was in the finals and I wanted to watch that.
Yay!
So, Will, why don't you tell us about that game?
That game?
Yeah.
That was a bad game for me.
You were super rested and ready to go.
Yep.
And
that was on
and
about,
not sick.
About 5 hours of sleep and just starting up the flu.
Yep.
So it was a good combination there. So Jamie and I, we had talked the previous day about playing.
All right,
like,
before you start this, I'd like to point out that through the entire weekend, every single round, Will would come up to us and say, I really don't want to play Jamie's Kador. Like, every round, not joking, just like, every round, he's like, oh, I made it. And then, so we get to the finals, I'm like, hey, look, Will, it's that guy that you said every single day that you don't want to have to play because you're afraid of his Kador. Yeah. Anyways, continue. Yeah.
Well, Circle just has a really difficult time with Kador in general. Well, specifically with Kador Infantry and Iron Flesh, which P. Krueger answers very well, and there are some other answers to it, but I had none of those built into my lists. My goal was to dodge Kador the entire con.
Because that worked last year.
That worked out really well for me last year. Nobody ever really made it anywhere with Kador last year.
Was anyone even
jokes
playing
on me.
Last
I think
Planes
it was, I don't know.
Was it? No, I think he was still on Minoff. No, he was on Minoff last year. And that super wacky troll list. Anyways.
That was a really nice. We can go on to that one at the
later.
Outtakes at the end. But, so I played Jamie in the finals. I was looking at his lists, and he had Old Witch, Esorsha, and Pyrrusk. I could have sworn he was going to pick Esorsha, and I don't know why I thought that, because right now I'm like, why would you ever pick Esorsha against...
I think
our reasoning was that he's going to pick Esorsha because Wintergard at her feet is just going to melt
everything.
Warpwolves.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't work so well against Balder. So
so the plan was take Balder, and he takes Esorsha, and I was like, yeah, I got this, and then he played Old Witch, and that didn't go so well for me.
No, not at all.
Rapid Growth doesn't work, my feet's not particularly useful, because he can sit back pretty far, and he can gallows me in.
Or he can pop his feet.
He popped his feet in response to mine, and shut me out of charging the Behemoth. Yeah, nothing really went my way that game, and it was pretty much entirely my fault.
Yeah.
I picked the wrong list for sure. Should have played Cro-Mac. Morvana was not an option.
Yeah, no.
Can't even touch Kador. But Iron Flesh Chaozzi are super difficult to deal with in general, especially for Circle.
Yeah.
So he ended up pulling it out in the end. I ended up going for the objective. I should not have done that. I should have sat on my objective and just played the waiting game. Let him come to me. I had longer threat ranges. I had more Pathfinder. I had the shooting. I had pretty much everything to win that game. But 5 hours of sleep and a flu.
Yeah.
Not so good for decision making. So that, that game went to Jing.
Yeah. No,
and
pretty,
congrats to him.
Yes.
He played it very well. Did a great job.
Oh yeah. I guess all of us were watching, and I guess I was sitting on one side of the table and Nick and the other guys were sitting on the other, and we were texting each other saying like, I can't tell what's going on. What's happening and why is Will doing that? Cause pretty much we're like, cause we would say like, why did he do that? Like, we couldn't figure out what was going on, because Jamie just was in a very commanding position for a lot of the game.
Yeah.
And that Behemoth definitely killed, like, 27 points of models.
Yeah.
Why not?
In, like, 7 attacks.
Yeah.
The dice were ridiculous. He had the focus
and
to kill them anyway.
And
but the initials were
game.
Good enough.
That's
yeah.
Right. Joke's on Jamie, because now he has to pay for another plane ticket over here to come to War Machine
Hopefully
weekend.
We'll see you at War Machine Weekend,
Jamie.
I hope to see him, yeah.
Then.
Hopefully we'll see all the British Brits over there. They were awesome.
For those of you guys that don't know who Jamie P is, he is the UK Masters champion last year. He is an excellent Kador player, but he has now retired Kador and has switched to Circle.
Yay, more Circle.
I love Circle.
I blame you, Will.
You blame me? No, I don't think it was my fault. I don't think I really had any influence on him at all.
Well, just for the general Circle explosion.
I'm always a big fan of less Iron Flesh Chaozzi.
Yeah,
Not so sure I'm a fan of Warbeasts that are super fast that run away, and I can't ever catch them. But,
at least you can make attack rolls against Chaozzi.
Yes.
You can make them. You can roll the dice.
Stalkers
are just never there to attack.
I can also, like, just roll dice when I'm sitting at home. Yep. It'd be, like, the same thing.
Yeah.
But,
it's pretty good.
Anyways, but yeah, that was,
It was an excellent event overall. I'm very happy with how I placed. Mike, I'm very proud of you. You went 3-1.
Yeah,
I guess you went 2-1 and dropped.
I went 1-2 drop, because I lost the planter.
I must have missed that one when you were recapping.
I accomplished my goal of making it a Masters. My goal, until Will retires, and all the Detroit guys, and Iowa, and Madison, every one of them retire, and no one new good comes along, I will never count on myself to win Masters. My goal is to get there, and flail around, and maybe luck into some, get someone to let me kill their caster, maybe. But, I don't know, it's awesome. I love the game. All the people there are super cool. But, yeah, TempleCon, a lot of fun.
All right. I just want to put in one more thing about TempleCon. At TempleCon, I made a wager with another guy in our group named Manny Manchaca.
Yeah.
I bet Manny that if he wins a Masters event this year, I will shave my beard and give it to him.
That is absolutely gross.
He's been trying to get me to shave my beard for at least a year now.
Yeah, I support.
It's not going to happen.
I would probably
unless he wins the Masters, and then it will happen.
I'm afraid of what you'd look like.
So everybody vote for Manny or my beard. You have to choose sides.
I will totally scoop Manny into a Master.
Does this mean we have to make Team Beard and Team Manny T-shirts?
No, I will.
That's an excellent idea.
No, that's horrible. Let's never speak of that again.
Excellent idea.
But yeah. Anyways, before we wrap up TempleCon, any final remarks on it?
Nope.
No, I think I'm good.
All right.
Oh, Rhode Island sucks. We'll probably edit that out, but
well, no. I have no problem with Rhode Island. Our cabbie was awesome. We're not going to talk about that.
No, we'll save that for another time.
Though, so if you need a tune-up, our cabbie will hook you up. Yeah,
our cab driver could totally help you out there.
That's not going.
No, it's not. So things that are coming up, tournament-wise, at least on our end.
We've got Adepticon in, what's that, April?
I think we've got, Will, Billy, Eric, and who else going to that?
Jeremy Lee
going to
that. He was not there with us for TempleCon this year. He was there last year, but he's going to be making a trip to Adepticon.
Yeah, so we'll be there in force with four guys.
Then I think after that we have Lock and Load, and we have a pretty big group for that.
Yeah, like probably
seven or eight people going there.
I encourage everyone who can to get to Lock and Load. Last year was amazing, and it was only 2 days, so this year it's going to be even better because it's 3 days. That convention was awesome.
All right, and then after that, I think there's War Games Con coming up at the end of June. Was it June 22nd, we said?
22nd through 25th.
Okay.
That sounds about right.
And the cool thing about that is the Texas Renegades, we're going to be running all of the War Machine events there.
Absolutely.
So we think you guys should all come down and come to War Games Con. We're trying to turn it into the big War Machine tournament in the South.
Yep, it's premier event. It's going to be the Wild Bill Will Pavani Mark One Hardcore, which is going to use all of the Mark One Hardcore rules. We're going to have 7-minute turns, no extensions, no scenario except kill box.
And best of all, if you don't win when Dice Down is called, you lose.
No tiebreakers.
So no more Turtle Armies. Sorry, Watt. No more Xerxes.
I feel like we should come up with some creative way to destroy the coin for the undefeated player if we end up in a situation where nobody's undefeated.
Oh, yeah, we'll come up with something.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It's Texas, maybe we'll, give it a cowboy hat or something.
No, we can, set it up outside and Mike can come and, shoot it.
I think that's all the conventions
in the near future.
Close future.
Hopefully we have another podcast before that happens. Good God.
no problem.
I think if there's not another podcast before then this is probably the only one.
Yep, that's probably true.
But hopefully it won't be the last.
No, I got big plans for this, and we are actually going to be having Billy joining us for the rest of the podcasts. He could not make it onto this one.
Yep,
but he'll be here.
He has important things to do,
and that dude is crazy.
Yeah, he's
crazy.
Yeah, he has other important things to do that is not sit here and talk about little mans. Whatever.
I think some of the most fun I've ever had watching War Machine game is watching Billy get all excited about an unlikely assassination run and then going for it
and then failing.
Sometimes
for him, I guess it always seems to
either way, about 50-50.
Who knows?
Yeah, that seems like odds that Billy would like.
As the final segment to Road to War, we're all going to go through what we're currently working on in our gaming hobbies and how we're becoming better gamers. I personally have stuck to Baldur, Cro-Mac, and Morvana almost exclusively for the past year. I plan on branching out into new casters, and I'm currently working on both Krugers.
So for me, I've only been playing Scorn for a couple months now, so like Will, I'm going to branch into some other casters. There are a couple things that I still need to work on beyond that, just as more general skills that one needs for this game. This is the first Hordes faction I've played, so I still am learning a lot of the tricks and ins and outs of dealing with Fury, making sure I don't have too much out there, and how to properly manage it. And with my Hexerus and Makeda lists, I'm also learning that so I typically run a unit of Annihilators, in the front to jam and protect my beasts from getting killed. And I found that I've had a lot of issues with, I'll have scenarios where I want, my Titan Sentry to activate before the Annihilators move up when I'm playing Epic Hexerus, so I can get him into position to arc a Black Spot or something onto, something that I want the Annihilators to charge. And I'm bad about not leaving a path through my Annihilators for the Titan Sentry to get up there, which really messes with my order of activation. So I'm going to try to work on model placement for that.
Yeah, so planning ahead in turns is an extremely important aspect of the game. I think that's what Nick's trying to say.
Yes.
He's going for. Yeah.
And then as for me, like Nick, I just recently switched factions 3 months ago to Krix. They are a lot different from Signar. They run a lot. I mean, clearly they don't run many jacks, or at least I don't with them.
They also don't have ranged attacks.
Yeah. I don't know. Banefalls can run pretty far with Carters. but anyways, so there's a lot of new things there, besides the obvious, like, learning new casters, things like that.
I have an 8.5 inch threat range.
Hey, man, that's scary. And it's 10.5 with Tartars. But anyways, so things like just the basics, like order of activations like Nick was talking about, just stop making careless mistakes whenever I get nervous or flustered, like allocating focus or things like that. Or, let's see.
Playing on the timer.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Playing on the timer. I didn't get really close. I almost death-clocked myself once, but that's because I spent 10 minutes staring at the board thinking about how dumb I was. So that wasn't...
It's a good use of time.
Yeah, but that was... Yeah, I shouldn't have done that, but I ended up winning that game, so ha 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 ha. Anyways, but yeah, pretty much tightening up my games, and just pretty much exploring new factions, so it should be an exciting year.
Absolutely, I'm really looking forward to it.
Anyways, I think this is Road to War signing off, and we'll see you next time.
Yep, later guys.
Bye!
We are looking to make Road to War an interactive podcast experience. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics, please email them to aroadtowar@gmail.com.